series on what God desires for you. And if you're a parent or a grandparent, then you immediately connect with this idea of having a deep desire for your kids and your grandkids, wanting things for them, wanting certain things for them. You're wanting a certain kind of life for them. You hope that they have a wonderful life. Jesus said that he came that people might have an abundant life through him. And we talked about that briefly last week, this idea of an abundant life, and one of the characteristics of an abundant life is being able to walk through life as a Tigger versus an Eeyore, as someone who is more upbeat and less downbeat, someone who's more positive than negative in their life. And it's because in Romans 8 we looked at, because of all that Christ has done for us and gives to us, if we have Christ in our life, that indeed we can be that kind of person, more of a Tigger and less of an Eeyore. So each week I've used this visual illustration of a cross and a globe over here. And what does the globe world represent? What does it represent? And what does the world represent? Their values, their ethics, their morals, their priorities, all of that that's part of the world. And then this over here represents our relationship with God and Christ and their values and their priorities and their call on our life. So what I'm suggesting is that for us to be able to walk through this life with an understanding and an experience of the abundant life, of the life God desires for us, our focus needs to be here. When we unintentionally or intentionally get caught up in this, it distances us from Christ. But if we focus here, as the world walks more and further away from Christ, and just naturally the world tends to do that, we focus here, then we get distance from the world, but we get closer to Christ. So the idea fundamentally is that we need to have our focus, our intention on being a child of God that walks with God, that knows God, that allows God to minister in our lives and allows us to experience the abundant life because of that. So the characteristic for this morning that I want to talk about is a spirit of giving, or a giving spirit. And look what it says in Acts 20, verse 35 there. Remember that our Lord Jesus said, more blessing comes from giving than from receiving. In the Bible, if you were to look up words that appear in the Bible and count how many times they appear, which can give you some indication of some of the priorities of teaching in Scripture. The word believe, believer, that kind of thing occurs 275 times. Prayer, 371 times. Love, 714 times. Giving, 2,162 times. So clearly, at least we know that one of the primary character qualities of an abundant life is possessing this giving spirit. The Christmas Carol. Anybody seen The Christmas Carol, the movie? Yeah? Every Christmas, I love to watch that one. Mr. Scrooge. He's my favorite character. He's the main character, obviously. This was first published in 1843, by the way. So The Christmas Carol is about a person who's been radically transformed into a significantly different person as a result of these past, present, and future angels, and him experiencing that experience and coming out the other end. And what was the primary change that was demonstrated in The Christmas Carol? The spirit of giving. The whole idea there was that he wasn't one before. He was a Scrooge. And now he's not. He's generous. And, of course, we can talk about being generous in a lot of different ways. Generous with our time, generous with our relationships, generous with our emotions. But what I want to talk about this morning is the kind of generosity that was demonstrated by Mr. Scrooge as he was transformed. And that's a generosity of your materialism, of your money, of the things that you own and have. And the Bible talks about that quite a bit. And so when we're talking about a giving spirit, that's where I want us to focus. Let's start off by looking at Matthew chapter 6. So turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. And it's see what the Bible, we'll start off with this text and launch into several others. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and following. Matthew 6, 19, I'll be reading out of the NIV translation. Verse 19 says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Now it explains why. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You want to know where your passions are? You want to know where your heart is? You want to know where your motivations lie? Jesus says, well, just look at where you put your treasure. And he says, trust me, wherever you put your treasure, your heart's going to follow that. That's where your focus is going to be. That's where your passions are going to be. That's where your motivations are going to be. Then jump down to verse 24. "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You've got to have one or the other. So here's the first principle in your outline there that I've provided for you. Here's the first principle about the value of giving. Your giving, and I'm talking about material giving, can draw you closer to God. If you choose to be generous with your materialism, God can use that in your life to draw you closer to Him. Why? Because where your treasure is, you're going to end up having your passions follow that, and your priorities follow that, and your interests follow that, and your motives follow that. And so when you are able to free up some of your materialism and direct it God's way, it draws you closer to God, just a little bit at a time. Second principle I want you to see in your outline here is your giving reflects God to others. Most of us who are followers of Jesus, well, actually all of us because we have the Holy Spirit in us, there is a part of us that really wants our lives to show God to others. We want our lives to reflect Him. Giving does that. Everybody in this room probably knows John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." It's just a fundamental nature of God to have a giving spirit and to give. And so it reflects when you do that and I do that, it's a reflection of God's character. Third one I want you to see. Your giving can help you conquer the god of materialism. Now, I want you to see that in 1 Timothy. So if you'll turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy is in the New Testament near the end. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Your giving can help you conquer the god of materialism. Now this is, what does God desire for you and me? Well, there's several things, and this series is not exhaustive. But one of them is a giving spirit. And one of the reasons He desires that for you is He knows how easy it is for us to replace Him as a god with the god of materialism. It's just a very easy thing to do. And giving can help us with that. It can help protect us from that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. "People who want to get rich, want to win the lottery." Well, actually, I want to win the lottery, so I'm not sure if that applies. Anyway. "People who want to get rich fall into temptation." It's not saying the wanting to have material wealth is evil, but what it creates is an environment of temptation that's very, very powerful. "People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and they fall into many foolish and harmful desires that follow up from that initial desire that plunge people, men, into ruin and destruction." See the path, what ends up with a lot of this. "For the love of money," here's the reason why that's true, "for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith. These are believers He's talking to. Talking about Christians. "Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." The god of materialism is a massive temptation. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But when the god of materialism kicks in, it's life, liberty, and the purchase of happiness. It's the accumulation of things that becomes such a dominant high priority. I need a bigger TV and a nicer car and a bigger house and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. On and on and on. It can capture our hearts and our emotions and our souls so, so easily. And that's exactly what the text is saying. So that's why giving can help stem the tide of that. Giving can help us not get caught up in materialism that's so easy to get caught up in. Every time you're generous, I think, with your materialism, it helps kind of create a wall, a barrier that says, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to buy into the world's idea over here of accumulate. Get. I'm not going to go down that road. So instead of going down that road, I'm going to be more generous with my materialness and give more of it away in order to protect myself in some regards. Then we go on in verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world, I'll let you define that, not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Notice that last phrase. God's not a Scrooge. He's not Mr. Scrooge. He's not about making sure that you live on a level of poverty. That's not what God's about. It says right here, he richly provides everything for our enjoyment. He wants you to enjoy life. Part of the abundant life is to enjoy life. And some of that can be material things that you enjoy. I've jokingly said to you guys before that my dream car is a Lexus. I actually have one in my study. It's a little toy one. And so I own a Lexus, so I don't need one anymore. But anyway, so, you know, a new car, if you've ever bought a new car, they're nice and they're enjoyable. That is not a bad thing. God richly provides us with all things for us to enjoy things. So we're not talking about not enjoying materialism. That's not what we're talking about here. But we are talking about God in our materialism, or our materialism becoming our God unintentionally in our lives. Look what it says in verse 18 and 19. Command them to do good. Who? Well, the people who have material wealth, whatever that, however you want to define that. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, versus, you know, money, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, rich in good deeds and sharing, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Matthew chapter 6, don't lay up treasure on earth, but lay up treasure in heaven. And it's exactly the same principle. So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. The abundant life in part, when God blesses you and I with material things, he does not bless us with material things just for our enjoyment, but he blesses us with material things for us to bless others. And that, it requires a giving spirit. That requires a generous spirit. Versus a Mr. Scrooge. You ever met a Mr. Scrooge? Don't raise your hand. You ever met a Mr. Scrooge? Or maybe you've been a Mr. Scrooge. It's easy to be there and hold on to stuff so tightly. Next one I want you to see is your giving can strengthen your faith. When you are generous with your material wealth, it can truly strengthen your relationship with God. It can strengthen your trust in God. Malachi in the Old Testament 3 verse 10. This is what God says to his people, the Israelites. Bring your whole tithe to my storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough for it. With every promise, there's a premise. And in this premise, this promise that God will bless, he's saying for that to happen, the premise is that you are generous, that you follow my directives when it comes to materialism, that you are generous and give. In this text, of course, talks about the tithe. So it can strengthen our faith. Not this last week, but the week before in one of my small groups, we actually studied this issue of money. And as I'm studying this, I think I mentioned this last week, but as I'm studying this, God just put it on my heart that I needed to ratchet up my giving. Now, I got to tell you, maybe I've already told you this, there's a little, actually it's a little, it's kind of a big part of me that can be a Scrooge. It can be tight. And God just said to me, you need to increase your giving. And I said, no, I don't. And then he said, yes, you do. And then a number popped in my head. And I said, oh, my God. was in prayer with him about this. Genuinely, as I was doing my study, I stopped and just started talking about it. And then another number higher went into my head. And that's when I said, okay, stop. That's it. I'll go to that, but I can't go anymore. And so that's the idea of the Holy Spirit helping us to be more and more generous as he leads us and guides us, so that we're not, the God of materialism doesn't grab our hearts and souls. Matthew chapter 6, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's under this idea of eternity. That's our next principle. Your giving towards God's purpose is an investment for eternity. It's invest. What you're saying as we live down here is as you give and give generously, you're saying there's a bigger call on my life than right here, right now. There's something more significant for me and others than right here, right now. And what that is, of course, ultimately is our relationship with the living God through Christ and our growth in him, our faith in him, our trust in him, et cetera, et cetera. And when we give to God's purposes, and that's between you and the Lord, how he leads you with that. When we give to God's purposes, we're declaring to him that we understand there's a higher purpose and value in life. And that the materialism he's given me, part of that I want to make sure and use for those purposes. Because that's far more important than the here and now, right now type of thing. So, that's the idea. You're investing for eternity. 1 Timothy 6, 18-19, which we read out of the NIV, but I give it to you in a Living Bible paraphrase, I think is really good. Give happily to those in need and always be ready to share whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. The next principle I want you to see has to do with how to enjoy giving. A way I thought about it titling this is how to be happy when the offering plate's passed. But the giving's bigger than that, obviously. It isn't just the Sunday morning offering plate. It takes on a bigger issue than that in terms of our material giving. So how to enjoy giving away to God's purposes materialism that you have? How to enjoy that? Now, 1 Chronicles 29 is what I want us to turn to. Probably a lot of us have not looked at 1 Chronicles in a very long time. Old Testament book, 1 Chronicles 29. I don't know what page it is in your Bible, and mine is 421. So, 1 Chronicles 29, the context. King David is before the Israelite people. He's invited them to come together and assemble because God revealed to him that he wanted a temple built where he could dwell among his people, but that King David was not the person to build it. Solomon, his son, was. But King David wanted to collect the resources in preparation for Solomon to build the temple. And that's the occasion. That's the situation. So they're all together, and they've come, and they've had an offering, and people have contributed in a very abundant way. And so King David is interacting with the people and describing that situation and also the worship time that they have. So given that context, I want to pull out some principles about our attitude, our perspective when it comes to giving, when it comes to releasing our material wealth, our material good for God's purposes. The first principle I want you to see is this idea of to give humbly. To give humbly. 1 Chronicles 29, David is in the midst of a prayer in verse 14. And he's worshiping God in front of the people, and they're worshiping God, and he's praying to God, and this is what he says. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. O Lord our God, as far as all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. That's called a humble heart, a humble attitude, a perspective that's radical in terms of how we view our bank account and our retirement account and our house and our car. And you've heard this before probably, but it is remarkable that we as followers of Christ could get to the place where we have this kind of view of the stuff we have. That it's all from him. It all all belongs to our Lord. We just have the privilege of managing it, as Scripture teaches. And so we give. When we give, we don't give as kind of a, look at all the money I have and look how generous I am, Lord, giving a little bit to you. It's more of an attitude, hey, this is all yours. What a privilege I have of giving some of it back to you directly for your purposes to be used in other ways. John Wesley had this attitude. John Wesley was a preacher of the 19th century, and he traveled a lot on horseback and preached. And one of the, somebody came running up to him on horseback and told him this. He said, Mr. Wesley, something terrible happened. Your house burned to the ground. So apparently he was away, something happened, and he lost his house, his home. And Wesley apparently stood there for a little bit, pondering what he just heard. And then this is what he responded. No, the Lord's house burned to the ground. It's one less responsibility for me. Now, that sounds a little bizarre and a little weird to me. A little crazy, a little out there. Like, really, if my house burned to the ground, I don't think I'd respond quite that way. But biblically, it's an appropriate perspective. It really is the Lord's house. In fact, years ago, some of you know we own a home in Gresham, and years ago, we had a flood in the basement, and I'm freaking out. We're living down here. We have a flood up there, and I'm panicked and freaking out and trying to figure out what to do with it, how to manage it, and all that. And my wife, in her own wonderful way, said to me, I wonder why God flooded his house. That kind of woke me up. Kind of like, oh yeah, I forgot. It really ultimately is his. And that's what John Wesley was saying, and that's what this principle of being humble is saying. That's what King David is recognizing. Hey, all that we have really isn't ours. We need to change our perspective in that respect. It is not ours. It is his. And so that requires a humbleness, I think, on our part. And so the next principle I want you to see out of 1 Chronicles 29 is give willingly. Give willingly. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17. This goes on right here in the text to say, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. This is not a gun to the head. This is a voluntary willingness on the part of the people, and that's a quality that God wants in each of us, to willingly have a giving spirit, to willingly give of the resources. 2 Corinthians 8:12, it does not matter how much you have. What matters is how much you are willing to give from what you have. It isn't an issue of the amount. It's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the willingness. Some people giving X number of dollars is a huge, huge demonstration of their trust in God and willingness. Some people need to give three times that much to demonstrate their trust in God and willingness. Because it's not how much, it's where you are in life and your willingness to give to God. 1 Corinthians 9:7, each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give. This is not impulse giving, although sometimes that happens. Sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts us to give when we haven't really thought it through or planned it. But this text says, what you've decided between you and the Lord to give, that's what you give. Not reluctantly or under pressure. If you're sitting here this morning and you're feeling guilty or you're feeling pressure on the area of materialism and your generosity or lack thereof, I don't know. That's not for me. If you're feeling pressure, it's from the Holy Spirit wanting to talk to you about this. Because he says he doesn't want us to give out of pressure. He doesn't want to give us a gun to our head. It comes from a heart of a willingness, a voluntary willingness to do this. Next one is give generously. Give generously. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2, this is David talking now. With all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx with the settings, turquoise stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stones and marbles, all of these in large quantities. Besides, tithes and my devotion to the temple of God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God over and above everything else. I provided this for the holy temple. So this idea of giving generously, David's saying, hey, I went way beyond what normally might be expected in order to give for this purpose, this cause, to build this temple. And we're called to give generously too. Whatever that means for each of us, we have to decide between us and the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8, 3 and 4, they gave as much as they could afford and even more, simply because they wanted to. They even asked and begged us to let them have the joy of giving their money for God's people. In the context of 2 Corinthians, Paul was going through the churches and saying the Christians near Jerusalem are starving, they're in desperate need of help, and so he's asking Christians to give. We do that. We have offerings. We take offerings to give to other causes, to other groups of people. Exactly what they're doing here. And these people in 2 Corinthians 8 were poor. I think Paul's writing this kind of surprised at how much they were willing, how eager they wanted to give, even though they didn't have much to give. And so the idea here, of course, is to give as generously as God leads you to give. Next one is give thankfully. This is all about how to open the pocketbook or the checkbook when you give material things, whatever that might be, the kind of attitude, the kind of perspective to have that God wants us to have and God wants to build into our life. Give thankfully. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, because this is after all the people come together, all the people had given, they've taken a big offering, if you will, for a particular cause, building the temple, collecting all these resources. David launches into a prayer. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours alone is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kindness. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. Your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. And he goes on to say, but who am I that me and my people should give so generously? Because it's all yours. And so he worships God through giving. On Sunday mornings, we have an offering. We have it during the worship service. We call this a worship service. Because Scripture talks about it being an act of worship. It's a declaration of praise to God. It's saying to God, when you put money in the offering plate, what we want it to be is for you and I to be saying to God, we praise you, we thank you that you have provided me with everything you have. All of it is yours. I'm now giving part of it back to be used specifically in ministry in your name. Now, God has given you money for you to pay your bills and provide for your family. Scripture is very clear about that. He wants you to use it for that. But he also wants you to free it up to use it for other purposes, purposes of building his kingdom, purposes of investing in people's spiritual lives. And so that's the intent of an offering during the worship service. That's exactly what they were doing here. They had a worship time as a result of their offering. They were praising God for the privilege of giving, David was, on behalf of the people. And so you give thankfully. Psalm 116, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? And the answer, in part, is to have a giving spirit. The answer, part of that answer, is to be generous like God is generous, and to have a giving spirit like he has, and to not let materialism become your God, but to be willing to lay it all before him and say, this is all yours, not mine. And so what do you want me to do with it? Part of it, you want me to feed my family and take care of my responsibilities there, but I want to free up part of it for your purposes. How much do you want, kind of thing. That's the perspective. That's the attitude that God wants his children to have. Last one is give joyfully. 2 Corinthians 9, 7, God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful here can easily be translated hilarious giver. God wants a hilarious giver. Can I make a confession? He's still working on me on that one. Because there's a part of Charlie Rice that tends to be Scrooge-ish. And he's still working on me on that one. He worked on me last week on that one. I've giving. But now I got to increase my joy of doing it. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may be able to relate to this. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. God says, I want you to get to a place in your spiritual life and your materialism in terms of me that you are thrilled to give, that you love to give. As one guy wrote, he says, wouldn't it be something if whenever a group of God's people got together and took an offering, everybody was laughing? Because it's just a thrill of our hearts to be able to give back to God a portion of everything he's given to us. That's the idea, to give joyfully. And God wants us to give joyfully. He wants it to be part of our perspective and how we do it, what's going on in our heart and soul, is that we give joyfully. But wrapping this up, let me give you the foundation concept for this out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, 2 Corinthians, we didn't turn to that text, but 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is about financial giving. Paul's doing some teaching there. If you want to read more about that, it'd be a great place to start. In that text, he says this: they gave themselves first to the Lord. They gave themselves first to the Lord. We all know that God's not broke. We all know that God's not sitting in heaven having major limitations as to what he can do because we're Scrooges, if we are. We all know that it's really ultimately not about that, is it? It's about our own relationship with him and our own humbleness before him and our own surrender to him and our own love for him and our own joy of praising him and worshiping him. And part of that is this whole idea of our money being his, not ours, and everything we have being his, not ours. And we recognize that, and we're glad for that. And so we give ourselves first. Our surrender to him is foundational to all this. Our worship of him, our adoration of him, our humbleness before him. And when that grows in us, then the Holy Spirit taps on us about our pocketbook. He says, oh yeah, there's an area of your life that I want to talk to you about. Because this area of your life can easily replace me if you let it, if you're not careful. He said in Luke 12, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. It's just a dangerous thing. So our willingness to give, our willingness to all stems from this concept. They gave themselves first to the Lord. So we honor God. We declare our trust and allegiance to God. We declare our dependence on God. We declare our love of him. We declare our surrender to him. In part, we can do that by having a giving spirit. Giving of our materialism is what I talked about this morning mostly, but it can go beyond that, can't it? Giving of our time, giving of our energy, giving of our emotions, just having a giving spirit before God Almighty and allowing him to use us. And one of the ways he says, I want to use you is I want you to support, I want you to be generous with the things that I've given you for my cause and my purpose. Maybe one of the ways you're generous is you open your home to have people come in on a regular basis to study the Word together. That would be generous. Maybe you're generous in the way that you come and do things here at the church, or you're generous out in the community. And just, there's lots of ways to be generous. But the one that's the hardest for most of us, I think, is the pocketbook. And God talks a lot about that. And so a giving spirit, generosity with our materialism, is a way to truly honor God with our lives. Last week I talked about, at the end of the service, I think I mentioned the idea of worshiping God. I mentioned the idea of spending time just in his presence, declaring his praise and his work. It's become more and more a concern, a desire in my heart that be more about what I'm about. Studying this week and thinking about this subject, I realized the direct connection, maybe in a fresh way for me, that if I'm going to worship and praise and adore him, if I'm going to declare my love for him, one of the ways Charlie Rice can do that is to, with his money, be generous. Be generous towards the cause of Christ. That's one of the ways I can do Spirit beat me up on that one and help me grow in that one. And I hope he does that for you, wherever you are in your life, and whatever's going on in your life. All under the premise of they gave themselves first to the Lord. Amen? Let's have a prayer together. Father, thank you for this truth. I just lift it up to you. I think it's hard for us, a lot of us anyway. And I just want you to talk to each of us as we live our lives this week. Whatever's been said this morning, whatever I caught on in terms of verses or principles, whatever it is that you can use to help each of us grow the way you want us to grow in this area. We are your children, and we want our lives to reflect you. We want our lives to honor you. And this is just one of those parts of your desire for us to have an abundant life, is to have a giving spirit, for that characteristic of yours to be able and